Welcome back. We couldn't do this without you today. So thanks for tuning in. This is Amy.
And this is Dee.
And you're listening to another episode of Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. Today is a great day to wildly speculate. You know how we feel about that. We're going to be covering the murders of Ricky Beard and Mary Leonard in 1978. This one is a real whodunit.
It is. And so excited to be out here just speculating wildly with you. It is going to be a great episode. And that means it's extra fun to send to your friends today, even if they aren't super into the true crime world. So hit pause, send it over to your BFF. Or, you know, if you are listening out in the open, it wouldn't be super fucking weird. Take out your ear pods, have somebody listen along with you. Speculate wildly episode. That means it's going to be fun. It's almost summertime and we all need something extra to do with that time on our hands anyway. So introducing them to a new true crime podcast, you're fucking doing them a favor right there.
Yeah. And who doesn't want to speculate wildly with their friends, right? Like, I love when people find out that I have a true crime podcast. Oftentimes, the first thing that they will say after that is, have you covered XYZ case? What do you think about it? So this is a great case to do that with, right? Like, it's
for sure.
You'll see. You don't know this yet, listeners, but you'll see soon. It is a great one to do that with because there are multiple possibilities.
It's like when you go out to dinner and you look over and the couple next to you, one of multiple things is happening. Somebody's crying. They look like they're fucking arguing. Or one of them is just being the biggest cunt to the other one who just seems to be like the nicest individual. So you want to beat them up. Like, so it's, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, babe, I love that you're talking to me right now, but like, shh, lower it. And like,
oh my God.
And can you hear what they're saying? Because she or he or they look very upset right now. You know, it's a bring out the popcorn type of situation.
Right. That is my absolute favorite time of day when I'm at a restaurant. I was just telling Z before we started recording, I was in California this weekend for work and slash other things. And we went to a winery and there was a very similar conversation happening at the table behind us where people were discussing something and I could not concentrate on what was happening at our own table.
Oh my, all the time. And Roberto's like, I'm right here. And I'm like, yes, but you will still be here.
When I'm done listening what this lady has to say, because she is a little bit more interesting than you at this moment.
Right? She's causing a ruckus. I don't think I told you, but I got into a verbal altercation at Aurora's dance studio.
I saw it on the interwebs that you
did.
And
I want to
hear so much about it. Yeah.
I've already actually put it and it's going to be in our next parenting chat, I think might be our next episode.
Did I do that correctly?
Maybe not. Either that or it'd be the episode afterwards, whatever. Fucking press the follow button, hang out. I'll tell that story next time because I like to seem really big and bad and tough. And if somebody else is getting into an altercation and I love you, like, oh, I'm all about the conflict. I'm going to run up and I'm going to stand up for you. But when it comes down to people talking to me, I like am shaking, you know, but I stood up for myself and it was weird. But yeah, I straight up got into a little dance mom confrontation. Oh, and I felt like this was drums. What everybody was doing, because that's what I would have been doing is like,
Well, you know. For sure. And I hate that for you because, of course, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable or sad or upset and I don't want anybody hurting you because you are a baby angel. But it is hard when you become
oh my God.
We're going to so put pause on this and totally take it to another episode.
Yes.
Because I cannot wait to hear about it. Before we go on to our show and tell, the listener who recommended this, her IG handle is Mary Who Books. Thank you so much. This is actually a case that was like in the hometown where I grew up and I had never heard of it. So I super appreciate you sending that on to us. I'm excited.
And she was from Instagram. So sometimes
we
get a lot from TikTok, but this particular user, if you are looking for Mary Who Books, she is to thank her From all of us cursors.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that. If we had a name, I don't think it would be cursors. The cursors. I can't even without the twang. I just can't.
It sounds... We can't exactly be the crayons. We need like a gang name. Because I don't think it can be cursors. You're right. And I don't think it should be crayons. So I'm not really sure. The catty bitches. I don't know. It'll be something.
If you know, send us a suggestion. Yeah. But what do you have for our show and tell? I'm excited to hear about it. It is your turn.
Yay. I have a show and tell and then a shout out to a past show and tell. So if you don't know,
lovely.
Now you know. I try to be proactive as possible when it comes to mental health, right? I feel like I'm always talking about it. I love it. I think everybody needs a therapist. We talked in the last episode, my fucking kids have therapists, and not because anybody's doing anything wrong. It's all for the right reasons. So for me, it's therapy meds, fighting the things, finding different things to help me when I'm triggered, all that kind of stuff, right? So that's like the tee up for this. And thanks to a little tip from Z a few episodes ago, I have been compiling an Amazon list of things I want to buy myself that I don't buy.
That was from a year ago.
Was it a year ago? Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah. Well, so you, reminder.
You do a note section in your phone or a Google document, and then you share it with your significant other, and it's a list of either gifts that you want and or a list of gifts for the whole family. I say that it should be a list of gifts for the whole family, and I even have my husband on the list, but he doesn't click his own links, or maybe he does, and he knows what whatever, that's his own problem. Yeah.
Proceed with caution. You want to spoil your own surprise? Go for it.
Exactly. Proceed with caution. But then also he could add links there too. So if he really enjoyed something, he can add something there. So this is the Amazon list that she is referring to.
Yes.
Or suggestion.
Yes. So I have a notes that I have gifts for everybody else. But for myself, I'm a big Amazoner because I really want to say that I'm just like Z and I don't buy anything that I shouldn't buy. Not that you don't buy things that you shouldn't buy, but you're very much better at being minimalistic. And I'm just like, all the things, I want all of it. So
just because I like to spend my money on, like, I'm like, oh, would I like a thing or would I want to drink a bottle of wine with my friend this weekend? I will buy the alcohol.
I love that self-control for you. And I think it's great. But for me, I will find stuff and I'm like, ooh, I want to buy this. And sometimes I will just buy it. And sometimes I'm like, no, I'm going to save it. And so I have a little list on Amazon that my family and my husband have access to. And so, like, if you're looking for a gift to buy me, hello, this is like the easiest place to get it from. So on Mother's Day, Chris went to the list because he has been trained very, very well. And he bought me a couple of things from my list, which was awesome. And I didn't have to tell him what I wanted and I didn't have to struggle for something. So if you don't have your own list, whether it's in notes, whether it's on Amazon, definitely do it because it's worth it. Bought me one of the things he bought me was called, it's called a breathing necklace. In all honesty, it looks like one of those like snuff necklaces, like with the spoons. Like it looks like a cocaine snorter. It's not.
Okay. Okay.
So it's a little like straw. So I guess it kind of also looks like a whistle.
Okay. So my friend, not my friend, but totally my friend at the dance studio.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know his name. It's Scarlett's dad. So shout out to Scarlett's dad. He wears his vape pin.
Oh.
And like it looks like a gri-gri pouch, but not like a gri-gri pouch. What's the Native American version that's leather? I don't know what that's called, but you know what I'm talking about? That's leather, and then they normally have like tassels on them. Mm-hmm. So he has one of those looking, I picture it looks like that. It where all be... more like a vape than a spoon.
Yeah. Because it's like a straw, like it's a little straw. Yeah. And so basically the point of it is you breathe in to one end and it helps you to slow your breathing. It helps you to focus. It's really sleek looking. It's really affordable. It's super helpful. I had looked at one of those Calm-E-Go's for a while, which kind of look like an inhaler.
That you carry around. That's what I thought you were going to say it was, to be honest. When you said this, I pictured the inhaler thing.
Yeah.
Are they like $150 or something stupid?
$300.
Ew, why? They don't even have the inhaler drug in them.
They have nothing. They have, like, you can get them with essential oils. So, like.
Okay. You could also add your own essential oils into it. I could show you how.
Yeah. That's so dumb. So I have always looked at those. But then when I saw this necklace, I was like, oh, it's cheaper. Let me see if I even use this first. And then if that's something that's like,
I love that.
I can like do it later.
I'm a big one of those kind of people too.
Right. And it was super affordable. I want to say it's like under $20. Like it's like a really inexpensive gift, but it's nice because it's sleek and it's helpful and it looks just like a nice piece of jewelry. I brought it with me on my trip this weekend because I was in the airport and all the people and all the stuff and it's just like gross.
And it was helpful.
It was super helpful. And yeah, it's just nice and it's helpful to focus. So I'm going to link it in our show notes. Hopefully someone else might find this helpful and useful. But, you know, anytime you can have those tools at the ready, you're just a happier person. It just makes life easier.
I love that. And I love that you took it with you and you found that to be helpful
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was great. So you might need one of these if you are an anxious person about not knowing the ending of things, which sometimes when we cover cases that we don't know how they turn out, it makes me that way. But Z, start us out. Tell us about this case.
I agree. That's funny. Okay. So we are talking today all about the murders of North Hill teen sweethearts, Ricky Beard and Mary Leonard. It's been a mystery for 40 years. 40 plus yeah. years at this point. Ricky was 19, Mary was 17. They went on a date to the local drive-in, which is just so sweet, on August 24th, 1979. They grew up in the same area of North Akron. Ricky had just graduated from high school the previous May, and Mary was getting ready for her senior year. They had been dating for 4 months. After watching,
I know. Such a baby little relationship.
I know. After watching the feature movie that night, which was Amityville Horror, they headed back to Mary's home. They stopped by a nearby bowling alley. I guess he was dropping her off too, which he fucking should. And I bet he got out or he would have gotten out and opened her door. And I bet he would have walked her all the way up and like, you know, given her a little peck on the cheek. And I bet the light would have still been on and her mom would have been like peeking out the little window. Yes. And there's fucking, you know, those curtains that are all, they're disgusting. They're all like doily and like, oh, so cute. Right. Okay.
And the area that they lived in is very like suburban-y suburb. Like it's really like houses and porch lights and the whole thing. I mean, parts of North Hill are sketchy now, but in the 70s, it would have been like totally amazing.
There you go. So they stopped at a nearby bowling alley parking lot to chat with some friends on the way home. I guess it wasn't her curfew yet. A short while later, a next door neighbor of Mary's reported hearing the couple out on the front steps quietly laughing and talking. So he did walk her up.
I love that.
The next morning, neither teen was at home. Before their parents even organized a search, police from Chattanooga Falls, very close by, they called
Cuyahoga Falls. Yeah.
Well, you know what? In Texas, that is not how we would have pronounced it. You know, there is a Chattanooga too, though, and I just
there
looked
is,
at
that's
that.
There is, and that's in Tennessee.
And it is, and I have been there multiple times, and so that's not what this is spelled like, but that's what my brain said, so thank you for that.
No worries.
So they found his car halfway parked in an abandoned garage. This was just a few miles away from where they lived, from his home. In spite of a thorough search, the bodies were not found for 6 years. Okay, so picture this. Your, you know, teenage children, they're coming home from a date, whatever. You wake up the next morning, they're not home. You think, what the fuck? I can't believe they stayed out all night. These horrible children, they were all being promiscuous. I bet they did it. I bet they were having sexual activities somewhere. And then just 6 years go by. You don't know.
6 years, just missing.
6 years. And they found his abandoned car somewhere too, which is horrific because now you're like, well, we were just starting to get worried. Now we're for real worried because boyfriend's right. missing. She's missing. What's going on?
Right.
In 1985, a utility crew digging a trench on private property in the Merriman Valley, which is it's a park system, uncovered the bodies of Ricky and Mary. They were laying in thick undergrowth down a narrow gravel road, which is used as a lover's lane by local couples. That would have really checked out.
Maybe for sure.
Maybe her parents weren't home, and so they decided, oh, let's go and be promiscuous.
Right. Let's go smooch. Yeah.
Something else, maybe. Or maybe they were so wholesome, maybe they just wanted to watch the stars somewhere where other people weren't at, right?
Who knows?
Either way, that's where their bodies were found. They had been shot. So Ricky had been shot. Mary had been shot. They had both been stabbed and beaten. Oh. And they were still wearing the same clothes that they wore the night that they disappeared. There are three different potential scenarios that have risen to the top of the whodunit categories. And that's what we're going to be focusing our main topic of discussion on today, are these three different possibilities. But again, none of them, the detectives, family members, evidence, witness statements, none of them all point to the same person necessarily, which is why it is a big whodunit. It's why we do get to speculate a little wildly. So, Amy, what is the first possible scenario?
Okay, so the first possible scenario is a Northeast Ohio biker gang murdered them over some sort of a drug deal, or they came in contact with them wrong place, wrong time type of a situation. So, known for a fairly significant presence of outlaw motorcycle gangs, Ohio began to see an influx in these groups in the 1960s. So, the gangs were kind of migrating into the Midwest and from East and West coasts. So, like, they're kind of starting to come inward. One of the individuals who was investigating the case said, all have specific patches to identify the gang, most commonly on their jacket or their vest, although sometimes on a helmet or on their motorcycle. They want you to know who they are, so they make it pretty easy. So in Northeast Ohio, particularly the Akron and Canton area, which is right where these two were murdered, they have a large alliance of the OMGs. The OMGs are the Outlaw Motorcycle Gang, which to me seems like a really weenie name for a motorcycle gang.
Like the OMGs. That's
gonna be our gang name.
The OMGs. That's what I was gonna say. That's the kind of stupid ass shit that I would name my motorcycle gang.
Your motorcycle gang.
That's funny.
We're the OMGs.
I think it's ironic, and I think they named the OMGs in the 60s because they found it to be ironic.
Exactly, but I kind of wish they had, because that would make them a little bit more likable. But there is a motorcycle club really close to the location where the bodies were found. So I actually grew up in Cuyahoga Falls, which is kind of the police department that I think did most of the searching. Like, it's literally on the border of North Hill, which is where they lived. So this gang, or this motorcycle club, is located in this house. The house is literally the only house. It's not a neighborhood. It's on the corner. If you're familiar with the area, it's like in the valley, which is the Merriman Valley, which is where that park is. There's like a lot of people go driving through there. That's where Lover's Lane is. But there's a house really close to that location, which would check out to me. Like, that kind of seems like this is in line with potential. As with the street gangs, the OMGs recruited locally, and they had a local tie to other motorcycle gangs with like nationally organized crime. So like, essentially they're like branches, I guess, like where you have like, you know, kind of like how gangs work, where it's like there's turf battles, there's like different cities that are, you know, this is our location, this is your location, whatever. Traditional street gangs, both neighborhood and national gangs, have a history of confrontation and gun violence. It was reported that 80% of those surveyed believe that this type of gang to be the most violent and problematic for their community. So, kind of a big threat. It's definitely something that it has some serious potential to be accurate. And with the very limited knowledge I have of motorcycle clubs in the Akron, Cuyahoga Falls, Canton area, I mean, it checks out to me. So that's theory number one, is that somehow they had gotten mixed up or wrong place, wrong time with this biker gang. Z, what's our number two theory?
So the man who confessed to murdering them. Yes, just sink in. Let that sink in. What? Yeah. What the fuck?
What? Okay. Yeah.
He was deemed mentally insane. So he was eccentric. He was an alcoholic. He owned the property where their bodies were found. He was there the day that the gas utility company was digging a trench on his property for the pipeline. He came down while they were working. He was very agitated, threatening them every time the backhoe began digging again. They called the cops. The officer stuck around to make sure the homeowner didn't shoot the workers because he was like literally threatening their lives. And that's when they uncovered the bodies. That's when they dug up the bodies. And it was reported, right? It was reported that the homeowner then walked down to the police officer and confessed to the murder. They overlooked his confession because they just assumed that he was crazy. What?
But seriously, like, what the fuck? Somebody confesses to murder and you're like, you're nuts. Goodbye. I'm sorry.
And that's it. That's it. Right. Not like, sir, I can see that you need some mental assistance right now. You are about to physically attack people for doing work on a pipeline that we sent you a lot of notices about, probably.
Right. And like, we have the this is known out of your control. Right.
Exactly. This part isn't, it's your property, but I don't know.
We're
with the government. So either way, here we are. We're digging up this pipeline. And no, I mean, it feels like that's very Lori Vallow, but she just comes out and causes a ruckus. She's like, well, I killed them. And they're like, well, this lady's just nuts, you guys. We can't take what she says at face value, even though we found some dead bodies.
Right. Don't you have to do a little bit more due diligence? And I know they did look into it because later we're going to talk a little bit about evidence and stuff, but like to just be like, that guy's nuts. Like, never mind. I don't know. It's crazy. His family, and they never, and I'm sure if we did some more digging, I don't know if you saw, but like I was really trying to figure out who this guy was.
Yes.
And his name was not released in the papers. So because his family like didn't want anything, which is also like, I mean, this now categorically makes you a suspect. So,
however, I wouldn't want people coming after me and my family members because they were suspected of doing something. We have all been suspected of things that we didn't do. One time in the third grade, my teacher said I cheated on a math test, and I did not.
You didn't.
I didn't. I didn't. Not on that one. So
that wasn't the day.
No, it really wasn't. It was definitely probably other times, but that day I did not. Okay. And that, yeah, I wouldn't want her to publicize that she thought that I was a cheater because I did not, in fact, cheat. And she thought she had evidence, but she didn't have enough, motherfucker. No, but for real.
You didn't catch me this time. I get it. This is Miller. Get out of here.
Yeah. No, it started with a B and she did not like me.
Oh, well, that's rude.
That's fine.
Rude. Like third grade math student. Teacher. Get out of here. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it sounds to me like there was maybe not like enough due diligence when it came to that guy.
100%. They should have at least gotten him a mental evaluation, which maybe they did, but it doesn't seem like it.
And maybe that's why they discovered like there's no way this guy's like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and like he's out of here. Like there's no way. So I don't know.
Yeah, either way, the police were like, nah, this isn't it.
Yeah.
However, public opinion is that is one of the three possibilities, and that's why it's under our theories today.
Absolutely. Love it. Okay. The last theory is that a serial killer by the name of Ed Edwards murdered them. And there is some evidence that he potentially lived in the area at the time. A little bit of a background on Ed Edwards, which Edward.
I've never heard of him.
Your parents.
Yeah, Edward Edwards. That's rude. Yeah, that's a shit name.
You don't are immediately like destined to be a serial killer if your name is Edward Wayne Edwards. So he was born in the 30s. He did, in fact, die in 2011. He was an American serial killer and a former fugitive. He escaped from jail in Akron, Ohio. There's a jail there in 1955 and fled across the country. He used to hold up gas stations. But I did just a tiny bit of digging into him a little bit, and he would never like cover his face because he says he wanted to be famous, which I think is fascinating. So that right there, I'm like, there's something going on with this guy.
And
so
by night, some of his victims he shot at point blank range too, which would, okay, so Mary and Ricky, they were shot. I right. don't see anywhere that he stabbed anybody, but also I didn't
know, but
I didn't
it could have been
so far into it either.
Right. I don't, yeah, I didn't really look at his, like all of his other victims. But by 1961, he was on the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitive list. He was captured and arrested in Atlanta, Georgia in 1962, but was released on parole in 1967. So he murdered at least five people between 1977 and 1996. And he is suspected of several other killings. So it's thought that he could have been back in the area. That's where he was originally from. That's where he was originally living. So that kind of checks out and makes sense. They were buried, and so by the time it got to evidence, like, you know, we'll talk about what was left for that, but could totally have potentially been an instance. I think maybe we should cover this case or cover this serial killer. We've been doing a lot of serial killers lately, and this is one I don't know much about. He's a doozy. So
okay,
let's
add him to the list.
Yes, love. But yeah, so he was like the third theory based on, we all based on theory because it had been 6 years. Remember, 6 years.
Okay, the frustrating part with all of this is that any DNA evidence, gone, kaput. Ricky's car was released to his family the next fucking day or week after it was processed. With a bullet hole inside. So they were like, okay, you know, we've looked through it. Here you go. You can have it back. But they still hadn't found him yet. Mm-hmm. The family even hired a psychic and a private investigator, William C. Deere, to try and generate leads. By the time the bodies were dug up by the utility workers in 85, they had been reduced to bones. So yeah. The medical examiner could tell that Mary had been stabbed and believed both were shot. But yeah, there's only so much that you can tell by bones.
Yeah.
At that point in time.
Yeah.
It's a huge shame. So even if it was the guy, could they put him in jail for that? Because he could plead insanity. And so at what point would that have been relevant? That's honestly and truly, I want to hear what you think, but that is what I think. That is my thought, is that it was 100% the homeowner. It seems to be what most of the family members and friends agree with as well. To me, again, it just makes sense. That's why he was so agitated. That's why he confessed. So it's very sad that mental health played a factor into it, but I do think that he killed them.
Okay.
I think that's it.
I can see that, because part of something really doesn't sit right with me when he's confessed and they're just like, no, you're nuts. You didn't really do anything. Like, that seems really bizarre to me. But I think that it had something to do with the motorcycle gang, but that the homeowner was in on it. Not necessarily a part of the murder, something happened. He either witnessed it or he saw something happen. And they were like, we're going to fucking bury these bodies here and you're going to shut up about it. And he was already kind of mentally unstable. And so that like anxiety or like the threat of consequence plus his illness made him panic. Like when they showed up, like, I have to hide this. I can't do anything about it. Another possibility is that maybe this guy had some form of like schizophrenia and he did kill them, but it was like in some sort of like an outbreak of some kind. But the motorcycle gang seems a little bit more plausible to me. But I mean, in all honesty, this Ed Edwards guy, it could have been him. It could have been all three of them. I don't know.
True that, but my only thing is, okay, so I love that that you're combining two, and that makes sense, because what if he's a member of the motorcycle gang? We don't know. What if they made him an honorary member?
Sure.
We don't know, like, et cetera, et cetera. We don't know his family history. Maybe grandpa was a member, or maybe he was the founder of it. Like, I don't know.
Right, yeah.
However, it just, why would he get so agitated in, I mean, unless he just didn't want people sniffing around his property because he was schizophrenic and already was extremely paranoid, because that's a big thing with being schizophrenic. It makes you very paranoid. Yes.
Right. For sure.
So maybe I just answered my question.
Well, get this. Like, this is how the scene plays out in my head. So these two teens are like heading to Lover's Lane to smooch or be crazy or do whatever. I don't know. They're headed off. They come into contact with this motorcycle gang, whether it's like they're buying like weed off of them or doing something, and there's something goes wrong, they get murdered. Because of where they are located, they're close enough to this guy's property that they're like, we're going to dump the bodies here. This is what we're going to do. That guy's out like walking his dog, taking whatever. He comes in contact with this situation. And then the motorcycle gang, like whoever's involved, is like, if you tell anybody, we're going to fucking kill you. Like, this is what's going to happen. They don't know that this guy's mentally ill. They don't know all these other things. So they kind of like bury these bodies on his property. And so now he feels like this has become part of his like psychosis, is like he's like has to protect like the secret that he has. And when they start digging this trench, he like loses it, because he's like, well shit, there's nothing I could do at this point. And so maybe he confesses to it because he doesn't want them to kill him, or maybe they said, we're gonna kill your family, or I don't know, whatever. Like, I'm not saying that this guy is like the stand-up human being and he's like protecting all of like the world, but you know, it sucks so bad that mental health is also at play in this situation, because it could have been a combination of all of those things, but because he isn't like a lucid human being, it makes things really hard.
And there's several murders that have happened around that area since then. So there is no saying, like, he could still, if homeboy, home human.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a non-gendered way to refer to people. And I refer to people as dude a lot, but some people don't like dude. For some people that's gendered. Okay. For me, it's not. For me, that doesn't matter. It's how other people. So I'm doing it to be like inclusive.
Yeah.
So if somebody doesn't feel like that's an inclusive term, then I can't get upset. Like, well, I'm doing it to include you. Well, but they don't feel. Then you did it wrong. I don't know what to tell you. Like, sorry. Like, oops. You know. So I'm trying to think of a different. But whatever. This person is. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. This whole case to me, I don't understand. I don't get it at all. If he had such a psychosis, he should have been brought in. If he wasn't brought in, they could still be out just murdering to their heart's desire.
Right.
And we could be blaming it on the motorcycle gangs.
Motorcycle gang or a serial killer.
Those are still, exactly, because the motorcycle gangs in Akron, from what I read, and now please correct me because I have no fucking idea, but I read that they were still, like, prevalent.
I don't know. Maybe it's the circle I travel in. I don't know anything about fucking gangs. I have no idea. But I know that house, like the house that I was talking about, still exists. It is still there.
It's still
and you can still often see tons of motorcycles just like chilling at that house. Like that's like where they go and hang out.
And it's off of like a giant, giant highway. Yeah.
Well, so it's kind of tucked into what we call like the valley. Awesome. You like, you know, if you're going somewhere, I'm sure there's places like this, like where you live, where you're going to drive somewhere, you can either like take the highway, which kind of takes you the long way around, or you can go through like the back roads, which like that would be like the valley is like the back roads. But there's
and
like
it's
this
prettier
main...
to drive through.
Yeah,
there.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like
so
a better way.
So it's not weird that a motorcyclist would, they'd be like, no, I'm definitely, I literally drove my bike to take the scenic way. So I'm in fact going to take the scenic
Absolutely.
way.
Absolutely. And there's, so if you like, there's like this main, like commercially area where there's like some bars and like restaurants and whatever. And then if you drive down, like headed towards like the back roads, there's just this one singular house on a corner where you can either like turn right and it'll like take you, or turn left and it'll take you like up to the mall, or keep going straight where you'll go through like the valley where there's like farms and, you know, whatever. So it's definitely a house. It's definitely not used as like somebody's primary residence, but there's no other neighbors around, which is probably why it's like a good location for, you know, whatever business they're doing there, because it's like kind of secluded and like there's no other, like you're not going to find like a family sniffing around or whatever, because it's just like that's the only house that's there. Are they prevalent? I mean, I don't know. I definitely, it's still definitely active. Like it's pretty close to where my parents live, and anytime I drive past it, there's always something going on there. So don't know.
And motorcycle gangs are for real a thing. Roberto recruited to join like a nice motorcycle gang. I mean, they call themselves a club, but that's a gang. I'm sorry. Like there's not a difference. You've got patches and hand signs or shakings and stuff.
Right. Well, and like, I'm sure not every person who is in like a motorcycle club is like murdering people, but like,
oh no, these are nice dudes.
Right. Like I'm sure sometimes they're like helpful and
they do fundraisers for charity. They also get really stupid drunk and do silly stuff sometimes because it's fun for them, you know, adult things.
Yeah. Right. But, I mean, it's cool, but yeah. So could it have been them? Absolutely. Could any of these three theories be true? 100%. I 100% believe that. But I think where the unfortunate part lies is that you have 6 years of like cold case before anything happened. So even if it was like a serial killer or somebody else entirely, it's been 6 fucking years. They're gone.
Do you think they left Mary's house, or do you think somebody picked them up at Mary's house? They had to have willingly gotten in Ricky's truck to drive away, yeah?
I mean,
or else
I would
somebody
think,
would have heard the ruckus.
I would think, especially if the neighbors heard them like giggling and laughing, like you would think that they would hear them screaming or saying like, no, I don't want to go or whatever. And like at that time, I mean, this 1978 is when like that was the year my parents graduated from high school. They have all kinds of stories about, you know, running around doing whatever. And the like Lover's Lane, which is in the valley, is like definitely a place where like, whether you're going out there to be promiscuous or you're going out there to just like hang out and drink or whatever, it's definitely a place people would go. But it's also a place, it wouldn't be like, ooh, why are those people going there? Like it was a common place to go. So I think they could have absolutely, like maybe she did go home and her parents weren't there, and so they were like, let's go back out because my mom's still asleep and she's not awake and I can sneak out for a longer time.
Yes, I don't know. Or maybe they left a note saying they were still at a friend's house for a party or something like that. Who's to say? That's the case though. That is the long and the short of it. And those are the three theories that have been discussed, and they're all over Reddit. That's actually where I found a lot of our information today. It was a fun
interesting. Yeah. I struggle with Reddit because I find that I'm constantly like, more information. Like, I just want to know all the things.
Exactly. I almost want my own username, but I don't have one because I don't have the app or any of that. I just use it on the internet because I think I would be on it too much. There's so many weird things that you can find on Reddit.
It's true.
Let us know what you think. Do you think it was the motorcycle gang or a motorcycle gang, the homeowner, a local serial killer, whichever one seems more plausible to you, let us know. And we will be back again next week, which maybe you'll hear about the confrontation that I got into at the dance studio.
Super pumped to hear all about that because, you know, it sounds like you held your ground though. So tune in next time and we'll see what we can find.
Yes. But until then, make sure you drink some water, get some sun on your face, wear your fucking sunscreen. It is getting hot outside. Yeah. And just
the hottest.
Don't get sunburned. It's not great for you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Goodbye.